Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you Selassie Silence, Death of an Emperor, Crisis of Faith. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. The king who had once ignited a revolution vanished in silence. For decades, Haile Selassie stood not only as the emperor of Ethiopia, but as the living god to millions of Rastafari. He was the conquering lion of Judah, the Black Christ, the fulfillment of Garvey's prophecy. And yet, in 1974, the world watched in confusion and disbelief as Selassie was overthrown by a Marxist military coup. No armies defended him. No angels descended. The divine throne was dragged into the dust of politics. And for the Rastafari, it was an earthquake of the soul. The world saw a man being dethroned, but Rastas saw something deeper, a test of faith. Because what came next was not just political, it was existential. Haile Selassie was taken to the palace, placed under house arrest, and then he disappeared. No final speech, no public trial, no confirmed death, just rumors, whispers, conflicting reports, and silence. His body, if it was truly his, was not discovered until decades later, buried beneath a latrine. To Babylon, it was humiliation, a symbolic fall of black sovereignty. But to the faithful, it triggered a spiritual war. How can a god die? The movement was split. Some Rastas believed Selassie had gone into divine hiding, occultation, like ancient prophets who vanish into sacred seclusion, only to return in the fullness of time. Others declared he had never been a man in the flesh to begin with, that his spirit was eternal and the body, only a vessel. But there were many who struggled, who sat in circles under mango trees and wept, who pored over scripture and questioned everything. Was this a sign that the movement had misunderstood? That the divine had withdrawn? That Babylon had triumphed? Selassie himself had never publicly confirmed his divinity. He had never endorsed the theology built around him. To journalists, he was a humble monarch. To Ethiopian Orthodox clergy, a devout Christian. And so his silence, both in life and in death, became a haunting echo. But it was in this crisis that Rastafari matured. No longer could the movement rely on external proof. Faith had to be internalized. Rastas began to explore deeper meanings, some turning to the 12 tribes of Israel, others embracing Ethiopian Orthodox teachings, and still others doubling down on the mystical roots of the Nyabingi order. Selassie's death became not an end, but a metamorphosis. He was no longer just a man in a palace. He became spirit, principle, livity. He became every dreadlocked child born in the fire, every herb smoked in reason, every chant rising from a drum circle. He became everywhere. In his absence, the movement found presence. And so the silence was redefined, not as abandonment, but as ascension, a cosmic test of loyalty, a final parable. Would the people still believe, even when the king no longer spoke? For those who held on, the answer was yes. And for them, the emperor was not dead. He had simply returned to Zion. Because in the world of Rastafari, faith doesn't end when the crown is removed. It begins,